From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of March, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the agricultural markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll hear all about the agricultural news for the day, including that ethanol plant auction that's been taking place as Verison has gone bankrupt. Dave Dickey will have details of it. And I'll tell you about the IPM website. The very first bulletin has been released on this day from the integrated pest management folks at the University of Illinois. You'll want to see all the news about herbicides and weeds and insects and what might be coming for the growing season. We'll detail that a bit. And then we'll talk with Aaron Hager, weed scientist, about controlling some of those weeds. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon. Nearby May wheat at 555 and a quarter, up 25 and a quarter cents. July at 567 and three quarters. The harvest month soft red up 25 and a quarter. In September, 24 and three quarters higher at 591 and three quarters. In Kansas City, the nearby July at 616 and three quarters for the harvest month, up 23 cents. May corn futures at 396 and a half. Back in Chicago, 8 and a quarter higher. July at 407, up 8 and a half. In September, 9 cents higher at $4.16 and a quarter. December corn futures, 428 and a quarter, 9 and a half cents higher. The March at 439 and a quarter, up 9 and a half for the 2010 contract. And May 2010 corn at $4.44 and three quarters, up 8 and three quarters. May soybean futures, 940 and a half, 25 and a half cents the gain. July up 28 and a quarter at 940. August at 927 and a quarter, 31 and a quarter higher. And September at $9.02 and three quarters cents, up 34 and three quarters. November beans, a nine there. No, not this afternoon on the settlement price. $8.92 and a half, up 36 and a half cents. May bean meal at $2.96.30, up $6.80. July at $2.93, up $7.60. May bean oil up 97 today at $31.89. April live cattle $84.75, a buck 20 higher. The March feeders at a $94.25, up $1.17 and a half. And April lean hogs 20 cents lower at $62 and a nickel. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. April crude oil futures at $51.61, $3.47 higher. Ethanol at $1.58.5, a settlement price there up 2 6/10 of a cent. Natural gas, $4.18.5, 50 cents higher for the day. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.42.9, up 6 3/10. I had to take a double check back at that natural gas. Indeed, it is up 50 cents for the day. Heating oil futures, $1.34.6, up 8 2/10. And propane futures at 65 7/10, just about 1/10 of a cent higher. Gold futures at $958.30, up $69.60. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 73.77, just about 110 points lower. The U.S. dollar currently trading 83.13. And it is now down 1.02 on the afternoon. CRB index at 225.30, up 11.36 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. As prepared by our own Mike Sola, he says tonight, sky should be fair. It'll be colder. Lows will range from 20 in northwestern Illinois to 34 in the southern part of Indiana. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 40 in northeastern Indiana to around 60 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. The computer forecast, he says, continue to point to a more active weather pattern developing across the region for much of the next 2 weeks. The first significant system will bring a potential for heavy rain to the area Monday through Wednesday of next week. A follow-up system Thursday through Saturday of next week could bring an expansion of the flood situation, especially in the Ohio River Valley. Temps will climb to above seasonal averages through this weekend and continue mild for next week. Colder temps are expected to return with the passage of the late week storm on next week. More in just a moment.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, is with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm doing just fine.
Let's talk about this marketplace. A nice little rally in the market. When you were on Commodity Week last week, you were, I think, the only friendly one in the room. And it looks like, rightfully so, at least for the moment. Are you going to remain that way?
Well, basically what I've been kind of watching for the last two or three weeks is it some kind of sign that the dollar was ripe for a pretty good correction to the downside. And basically since the commodity markets pretty well track whichever direction the dollar is going in opposite, I felt that if we did get this break in the dollar, that we could stir up an overall general rally in the commodity complex. And clearly the event yesterday afternoon that the Fed announced basically triggered that decline in the dollar. It's kind of similar to kind of what we saw there during December when the Fed decided that they wanted to put the target, their interest rates, around zero or 0.25. We had this kind of round of inflationary type expectations hit the marketplace. And this is, again, I think, is the catalyst here behind this rally.
Well, so if we talk about how far the rally or how far the dollar has fallen, it's made a pretty good move to the downside. And let me see. I think we were started out. Where did we start? We're at 83 now. We topped out at 89 not too long ago, and I think we're just a couple of days ago. We're at 87.
Yeah, we topped out at 89.62. That was March 4th. Today here we're trading at 83.12 or so, at least what I'm looking at. Now, that's today's low is fairly close to about a 62% retracement of the advance off of that early December low that we had at 77.68. So my guess is we're down here at a retracement point here that the market, the dollar, could begin to show some stabilization here maybe tomorrow or no later than probably early part of next week. And then we'll see, you know, at that point in time whether or not it wants to resume the uptrend or if it wants to do something a little deeper and go back and visit that early December low.
Hey, I'm looking at the charts for both the grains and the oil seeds. Looks like new crop corn and soybeans both gapped higher today, and they stayed that way for the day. That's a good sign, I would think.
Yes, it is a good sign. And, of course, it's coming here at a time when the market begins to get real nervous about the new growing season, uncertainties about planting levels and all this kind of stuff. So we're getting the inflationary scare along with the start of the new growing season. And that builds a lot of enthusiasm into the marketplace. And I think, you know, that's kind of what's happening now. Just glancing here at December corn futures, it met one of my objectives that I was kind of looking at over the past two, 3 weeks at 432.5. We had a high, I think, here about 34. So this was a spot, I think, for anyone that was looking for a place to maybe do some new crop selling. Was this 430 to 435 area was a spot to take a look at that. If you go on up a little further up into this 450 area, we're going to start running into downtrend line resistance. So this is an area, if we start closing above 450, then that would tell you that maybe the underlying fundamental picture has changed, and we'll have to kind of go from there. But this is a nice little rally, I think, compared to what everybody was looking at here three, 4 weeks ago. This is a nice little spot in here to get something done.
Yeah, for new crop, then? I mean, we're looking at new crop, or are you talking about getting something
both,
done?
Both old and new. Farmers probably are longer they're fairly long the old crop. May futures, I had a little objective here about 401.5, and I think we went to 402.5. Again, we maybe got a little more room, maybe going up into this 410, 415 area, but then we're going to start running into downtrend resistance, and we'll have to go from there. But, yes, this, you know, I personally like attaching a put to a cash forward contract. The elevators will finance that put for you. You don't have to put out any outlay. And then that puts a floor under your cash price. And if the market decides to go on higher, you have an opportunity to take advantage of those higher prices.
All right. How about on the soybean side of the ledger?
Soybeans, somewhat similar. The May soybeans here, if you look at May soybeans, it met its head and shoulders objective. It had a little head and shoulders objective that was traced out here over the past 4 weeks. We had an objective about 451.75. I think the high here today was right at 452.75. So, again, it was a spot here from a technical perspective that it attained, and probably one would expect the market to kind of enter a period of consolidation and maybe even some downward correction next week as we as the market kind of prepares for the March 31st report.
You meant 9 as opposed to 4, but
yeah,
I think we all knew what you meant. So
right,
that's perfectly fine. So we meet these objectives, we make some sales, and that tells me that you're not particularly bullish the marketplace long term, in this that you're thinking consolidation phase as opposed to anything else. Am I right?
Well, I guess I feel that we're basically doing a recovery rally of the long decline that we saw last summer. So I think from a long-term perspective, I think this is more of a retracement rally of the decline off of the July high. So I'm kind of in the camp that these are rallies this coming year are meant to kind of be sold.
Right.
I kind of think we maybe have up through May 1 to kind of maybe see how much we can go. But I'm in the camp that one has to play it a little more conservative this year than last year, simply because of all the uncertainties that we have not only in the U.S. economy, but the world economy. And, you know, you can kind of see what's going on in Washington with the federal government, as with the Federal Reserve. I mean, they're basically Bernanke's move yesterday tells you he's all in.
Right.
And I don't know how much more he can do. So if his move doesn't turn this economy around, then we have some scary times ahead of us. So,
recovery rally, that tells me that it's a recovery rally and that there's potentially more downturn unless something fundamentally changes, which is either the economy turns sharply or begins to really turn on the bottom side of this, or there's something that happens to the crop, probably weather-related.
Right. I think it's going to have to be weather-related and, you know, that's a wild card. It does look like maybe we may, you know, start off a little slow this spring, depending upon which weather guy you want to talk to, especially the northwestern Corn Belt. But I kind of look for us here in the eastern Corn Belt. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to start hearing people plant corn in another week or two. So we're going to be a little drier, a little warmer, I think, on the east, southeastern side of the Corn Belt, whereas the northwestern Corn Belt is going to kind of stay in this cold and wet pattern.
Dan, thanks for being with us today.
Very well.
You have a good weekend.
Same to you.
And Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, if you'd like to hear what Dan had to say again, you can do that in a whole lot of ways. You can visit our website at willag.org and listen to it on the website, sign up to have it delivered to you as a podcast, or dial this phone number, 217-333-3434. That's 333-3434 in the 217 area code. Dave Dickey's here now with a look at today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Delaware yesterday approved bids from Valero and AgStar on 14 of the 17 Virasun Energy Corporation ethanol plants, along with separate bids on the three other plants. Altogether, the bids totaled nearly $1 billion and production capacity of 1.5 billion gallons a year. Valero said the plants that it purchased will be operated by the company through various yet-to-be-named subsidiaries. AgStar stated it will try to sell the six plants it purchased. The six plants will remain in idle mode for an estimated 60 days while buyers are secured. The Food and Drug Administration will delay for 60 days a stricter vote on livestock feed ingredients aimed at preventing BSE, also known as mad cow disease. Under the revised rule, animal feed cannot contain cattle parts that pose the greatest risk of spreading mad cow disease. They include the brains and spinal cords from cattle that are 30 months or older, brains and spinal cords of cattle of all ages that are not inspected for slaughter, and carcasses of cattle infected with mad cow disease. Ag state lawmakers want more liberal rules on how Cuba pays for agriculture goods from the U.S., but some opponents and the Obama administration are continuing to enforce tighter payment restrictions. The Trade Sanctions Reform and Export Enhancement Act of 2000 required that Cuba make cash-in-advance payment through a third-country bank. Lawmakers thought they had fixed the problem when they inserted a provision in the omnibus appropriations bill that said Treasury could not spend any money to enforce the Bush rules. But Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner says he will not change the payment rules because the omnibus provisions only stop implementation of the Bush rule for 1 year and did not amend the law. And European Union Trade Commissioner Catherine Ashton says she hopes new talks on a long-standing dispute about beef trade with the U.S. could lead to a deal next month. EU sources familiar with the plan say that the European Commission has offered to double its preferential quota for U.S. beef imports raised without growth hormones in exchange for an end to U.S. sanctions worth about $116.8 million a year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And starting today, there's another address I want you to visit as well. It belongs to the folks over in Crop Sciences right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. During the growing season, they produce a weekly bulletin about what's happening in your fields. It's a sure sign that spring has come when that very first one arrives, and it happened over the noon hour today. If you visit this website, you can read all about it at www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. That's Integrated Pest Management, ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. The articles in this very first edition for the 2009 season concentrate on several areas including some early season insect activity. Black cutworm moths have already been captured, though they weren't above the threshold. They were reaching that area in parts of Marion County on the 10th day of March. There's also a reminder there for those intending to plant BT corn for control of caterpillars, corn rootworms, or both, that they should remember to include the required non-BT refuge areas in their plans. And finally, there are a couple of items on weeds. There's a herbicide update for 2009, and Aaron Hager will outline the changes in herbicide formulations for you. He'll also talk about the best ways to control horseweed early on. It's become a challenging broadleaf weed in minimum and no-tillage cropping systems across much of the southern half of Illinois. He's got guidelines for some controls. And in fact, we already talked to Aaron just a bit about early season winter annual weed control. We'll hear more from him in just a moment. The sun is higher in the sky and the soil temperature is on the rise. Soon enough, farm fields will begin to green up, not with crops, but with weeds, like those the scientists at the University of Illinois experiment on all winter long in the greenhouse. Weedy fields are a problem farmers need to tackle earlier rather than later, says Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
So without a doubt, I think we really should stress early in this part of the spring growing season that farmers should really do everything that they can to make sure that they plant either corn or soybean into a weed-free seed bed. This is typically a much more effective way to establish a crop and prevent any deleterious effects on ultimate yield if the weeds are actually controlled before the seeds are even planted.
The most competitive weeds are those that are well established before the crop emerges. Winter annuals, even early season summer annual weeds, can have a large impact on yield. Those weeds aggressively compete for food and water from the soil.
Even more so in many instances than some of the summer annuals that may establish later on into the season. The other concern, of course, in the early part of the growing season, especially with corn, would be that weedy fields could be very attractive locations for certain insects to lay eggs, which ultimately would hatch and the larvae would feed on some of the corn.
Hager is most concerned about no-till fields at this point. He says the most effective technique is to use a broad-spectrum herbicide. Some fields will have glyphosate-resistant marestail or horseweed populations. Those will require a tank mix. The earlier in the season, the more effective those mixes will be. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at the American Legion in Mazan, Illinois, the meeting getting underway at 6:30 Central Time. Panelists for the meeting include Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. That's at the American Legion in Mazan, Illinois, tonight at 6:30. The meeting is free, and no advance registration is required. We hope to see you there.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Thursday afternoon. In just 2 minutes now, we'll talk with meteorologist Pete Leavitt about the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Stay with us right here, and also visit our website at willag.org.
It's Poultry Day. The origins for the day are obscure, but the intent is to celebrate chicken and turkey as well as eggs. The history of the chicken is long and complicated, but its domestication goes back to perhaps as early as 3000 BC in India. In Egypt, there is mention of chickens as early as the Second Dynasty. The chicken industry in the U.S. is dated to the late 1800s to early 1900s, when a few entrepreneurs began selling young chickens during the summer for meat as a sideline activity. activity on their farms. But it was not until the 1950s that the commercial broiler industry began to boom with the introduction of vertical integration. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, the Elias Howe sewing machine patent was reissued. The machine produced 250 lock stitches a minute, more than the output of five hand sewers. Also instrumental during the period was the work of Isaac Singer, who invented the up-and-down motion mechanism, and Alan Wilson, who developed a rotary hook shuttle. After a long legal battle, the three pooled their patents into the sewing machine combination. In 1936, canned beer is sold to the public in Britain for the first time. And in 1942, Clinton Hart Merriam died. A biologist, he studied the effects of using birds to control agricultural pests. He also helped found the National Geographic Society and what is now known as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt joins us this afternoon. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, it's a little cooler today than it has been, and I think it's going to stay that way. And then we've got the latest long-term forecast out from the National Weather Service. What do they say?
Well, third Thursday, it's the long-range day. First, we'll just look at April. And for most of the country, they call it a toss-up. Equal chances is their term for not knowing whether it's going to be warmer, colder, or normal. The only area they see a bias is in the southwest with above-normal temperatures, and in the Pacific Northwest, cool right along the coast. And as far as precipitation is concerned, they see dry weather from New Mexico eastward across Texas, Louisiana, and then up into the mid-Atlantic states. But the rest of the country, and that includes the Midwest, is equal chances again. So not much of a forecast. If we go to the 90-day forecast, that's April, May, and June, then we see a little broader forecast of below normal temperatures in the northwestern tier of states, above normal from Arizona across New Mexico into Texas. The rest of the country, that equal chances term again, which means take your pick. And as far as precipitation is concerned, for April through June, it's dry in the western states and southern Florida, and again, equal chances. So the Midwesterners can take their own choice on how they think the weather's going to be the next 3 months, because the National Weather Service doesn't have anything to say.
This is one of my favorite reports, because the National Weather Service puts the report out, but it's always an experimental report, because I think each time they put it out, they swap things in and out to see how accurate they might be.
Right.
And they just keep changing things up and go ahead and release it, don't they?
Right. That's it. Well, they do the best they can, but they don't see anything that stands up, and their verifications are really not very good. So they narrow the area where they think there's more certainty. Actually, in a sense, it's an honest forecast, because they're telling you they don't know.
Right.
In the past, they used to give you a forecast, whether they knew or not. So I think this is an improvement over that.
Speaking of improvement, is there any improvement in all in the Southwest as the week has passed?
Still dry. The drought area is increasing. It's most severe in south-central Texas, and the dryness extends up northwestward, up into the Panhandle, western Oklahoma, western Kansas, eastern Colorado. The only thing we see this coming week is a good chance of showers in the eastern half of that wheat country, but the western half, just a lick and a promise as far as showers are concerned for the week. So drought continues to develop there, and they tend to be persistent when they start there, and we're getting to the point where moisture is very important for this crop, and they need quite a bit more.
All right, anything else to add before I let you go?
No, South America seems to finally have gotten over its their summer doldrums down there with drought in Argentina and wet weather in Brazil. Things are back to normal. They got good rain in the Argentine the last couple of weeks, so that helps their second crop, soybeans, to come along. And it's hard to find a really tough spot in the rest of the world. Everything looks within the normal parameters and nothing that looks very threatening to crops.
Bet it doesn't stay that way, and we'll keep on top of it. Thanks for helping us out.
Right, my pleasure.
That's Pete Levitt. He's an agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. If you want to hear him again, visit willag.org.